It is October 12th, 2020. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
No sound effect.
Welcome. Happy birthday to my amazing little nephew, Andrew Herb.
8 years old, Herb, right?
The big sideways infinity sign, yeah. Upside right infinity sign, yeah. I'm Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley.
This is the only way I get top billing anymore is for
when Dan doesn't show up. You guys just keep jinxing each other. I'm going to remain the constant that everybody, hopefully doesn't not tune in for. But
or have we just been doing deep fakes this whole time? We're never on the same show, so it's just been me doing a British accent every time Dan's here and vice versa.
Fuck you, Kevin. Whatever that John Oliver.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Elliot Beaven, Brian, Percy Herrera, Clayton Poss. Yeah, Brian, as Brian says, special guest Kevin Bradley joining us tonight.
Exactly. And if anybody's joining us with the Braves playing tonight, thank you. Top billing for sure.
It's a hell of a team going right now for that Braves organization. Something for Atlanta to cheer about.
No kidding. I got their work cut out for them, though, in this series. So.
But yes, thank you for making us a part of your Monday evening. As always, if you guys are watching live on YouTube, make sure you guys hit the subscribe button, the notification bell icon, get notified whenever we go live, join the trap, join in with all your friends and your family, and just have fun.
I think the real reason Dan didn't want to come is because he knew the format of tonight's show was going to be very little information and way more back to basics of just...
As it is way back to basics tonight. Because I will have to say, because this is bullshit that I
because
have to
fuck
get,
YouTube TV because fuck I, YouTube TV.
I have right? to get I have to get ExpressVPN just so that I can watch Atlanta United. It's blacked out. Like, what's the point of a blackout anymore? I don't get it. There's no fans in the stadium either.
No.
But luckily, I had a 30-day free trial via ExpressVPN come through my email because they're like LA Fitness from like whenever I subscribed to LA Fitness, I don't know, 10 years ago, they're still sending me, we want you back. Come back. We'll give you another 30 days. They're like SiriusXM. Like you can get like a full year for like $6 if you bargain with them.
Yeah, it's like HelloFresh. Like somebody shared a box of HelloFresh with me 6 years ago. And it's like, you got 30 days left. And I still get an email every month. It's like, you got a free box waiting for you. I think that's expired.
It looks like we got the plug now. Percy Herrera saying y'all could have just asked for the Xfinity login. I'm going to slide into the DMs on Wednesday night. We are going to have – you're going to be getting all the emails. Signed in from Lilburn. Signed in from Shambly. Signed in from Alpharetta.
Exactly. Bing, 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 bing. Exactly.
We get all those security alerts. Edgar Ochoa, he said, I'm about to leave to watch the Braves. Sorry. No problem. We understand.
Not at all.
I'm no Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
I do love those Outcast Photoshop memes that have
the
you
Outcast. You're talking about the Outcast jackets?
Oh,
is that what you're talking about? How people Photoshop the people really Photoshopped their received receipts on those. That's the real Photoshop job.
Did anybody finally get their Outcast jacket from Super Bowl 50?
No.
Whatever, I don't know. Yeah. Probably not. No, there was a Photoshop meme going around where people were putting faces of duos on Andre and Big Boy. Yeah, and there was one with Acuna and Ozzy Albies on it. It was pretty seamless. Yeah. Yeah, Brian's right, though. He's saying, like, a baseball game requires so much attention that you can't watch this simultaneously.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly how I feel.
Most of those guys are basically doing a podcast whenever they're broadcasting for a baseball game. Like there's so much dead air in between the action and like the buildup between pitch to pitch. They're talking about what they ate for lunch 3 weeks ago and if anybody saw the latest Tarantino movie and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, think about it, like college football wise, like you used to get like Todd's Taste of the Town, like when Todd Blackledge on ESPN, they would do like the ACC featured game, and you would get in the, like, football has enough space in between that. In between plays, you can go to a 3-minute segment of
you get a whole feature in the middle.
Yeah. And then you get baseball. Just watch the hot mic. Like, how the guy, Tom Brenneman, I think it was, the guy who rightfully resigned the Reds broadcaster who got caught saying homophobic things on the air. Like, I don't understand how that happens. You have so much time to think about what you're saying and so much time between things in baseball. Like it's crazy to me. Anyway.
So I think I read what Edgar Ochoa is requesting, which says, let's get down to the game. That way I don't miss anything live. I think it should be stated up front in this episode that we are both winging the hell out of this episode. Because
I got to watch a decent amount of Wednesday nights, and then we watched a good amount of Saturday's game. I'm not going to lie, but
yeah, like, I haven't watched. I did ever since the YouTube TV parting ways with the local Fox networks, I've been unable to watch anything, which is really frustrating because I got my YouTube TV back online just for 2 weeks later for it to say, too bad, you can't watch this anymore.
Hey, but luckily, you got VH1. You got VH1 now.
I got Clemson. I'm good.
Yeah. You got VH1, so you can watch Major League like we were watching on the couch on Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
There's been so much good TV coming on everything right now. I feel like it's just been a mountain of new releases of stuff anyway, so I've been more than busy. But it pains me to not watch this team continue to lose with the exception of a draw against Orlando and a win against DC.
Yeah. So Saturday night was interesting. I thought it was you know, to be honest, I haven't been that discouraged with our play the past two games. I felt like in the game against Orlando, I felt like we were going to be okay. Like I told Dan last week, because like they haven't earned me being that afraid of that team, and they have to do it on a consistent basis. And we looked, I'd say, pretty decent against them. And one of the big elements to me in both of these games that's helped in defense has been, I felt like Franco Escobar's play has been great. Been very scared of him getting a red card in both of those games. But I mean, between Franco and Miles, like I feel like our back line is solidified again. I mean, we held Orlando scoreless. It's not like they weren't without DK up front. They played Nani in the latter half of the game. They had, and then Chris Mueller came in too, I think probably in like the 60th minute. He was the second half substitution, I think, and we still held them. Yeah. And then you go to the game on Saturday, and the main thing I would say on Wednesday night's game.
And Moreno played this past game, right?
Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, I was very encouraged, albeit for 4 days, 3 days, whatever it was, to see that Stephen Glass played the same lineup that got us a win in DC. And then you fast forward to Saturday and John's on the bench. Moreno's in.
Well, you've got to for that situation though, right?
No, I know. I get it. But like, it was still like a weird tinkering. I don't know. I don't know. He just tinkers a little too much. I'm hoping to get a little more solidity in that lineup. But yes, Elliot Beaven says Moreno was the biggest factor in that game on Saturday. I thought that he was great. He looked very comfortable. I am guessing his fitness isn't there yet. He came out and I don't know, he played 60 something minutes. But I felt like he and Hyndman together were playing off of one another. And that's another encouraging thing. I know that Hyndman has been slated, you know, since the restart, as being one of our scapegoats, and he hasn't lived up to his billing or his salary much since the restart. But in the past two games, he seems a lot more comfortable. He's creating chances. I feel like he's taking shots too. And I think the two of those are playing well together. Brian's point. I mean, anybody remember that Barco guy? He's in the hyperbaric time chamber right now, eating sensu beans. And
I was just looking up the news to see if anything had been posted about it. And I guess that Bocanegra released a statement saying that there's nothing nefarious going on, basically, that they're, he's still just recovering from an unstated injury, aka COVID.
I don't think it's COVID, though. I don't think he would be running in that. You saw that picture of him running, right? The Instagram picture that he posted?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that would be COVID related, but the, yeah, it's, it is weird to not see him in the lineup at all. And just, I don't think there's anything nefarious going on either. I think Percy was the one earlier today that posted something to the effect of like everything that he's seeing, he's playing internet sleuth. He's saying it seems like a sprained ACL or something like that, but I have no idea. He wouldn't be running on a treadmill if it was anything serious, I wouldn't think.
No.
I know he's in that anti-grav thing or whatever, that bubble boy, like speaking of
serious injuries, you said you did not see the Dak Prescott injury.
Unfortunately, I watched it earlier. I didn't see the aftermath. Angie and I were talking about it. It's always like the initial diagnosis was, I know, a dislocated ankle, which I know dislocated ankles and elbows don't sound too serious, but I believe they're really bad.
It dislocated entirely, if that's the case.
Angie said, no, the bone went through his leg.
Yeah.
It was a compound
fracture. It was pretty bad.
That poor guy, man. I love Dak Prescott. I feel for him.
You never want to see that happen. That's an absolute
shame. No.
Especially in such a minor, like it just seemed like such a simple collision, like nothing major. It wasn't like it was some really big hit or something like that where it looked like he was in to get hurt. He just came down the wrong way more than anything. And it's brutal.
That always seems to be the case though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that happened.
Chiefs coach Steve's in the house. Evening, everyone. Sorry I'm late. I was attacked by a box of assorted Reese's Yummies. That brings up a good point since we're about 2 weeks away from Halloween, which no kiddos will probably be able to enjoy this year. So what Halloween candy will be on your hit list as they go on sale this year?
What's your favorite? So were you like us? Like we never had like buckets or like the pumpkin pails or whatever. Like we got our biggest pillowcases and we went out around the neighborhood to trick or treat growing up.
First of all, we didn't have pillowcases growing up and couldn't afford them. And we just took those little white plastic thank you bags from the Piggly Wiggly, basically. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No.
We took the smiley face Chinese takeout bags.
That was definitely it. No, we did pillowcases as well. For sure.
You got so much more volume in there. Those kids, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke to walk out there with one of those little pale jack-o'-lantern pails. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amateur hour.
Elliot Beeman coming with the real questions. Left or right Twix candy?
I'm a left Twix guy, to be honest. Big time left Twix guy.
I'm like that with Kit Kats. I only eat the left side of the like fun size, and I just leave the right one in the wrapper. Just don't even.
It's like me with boneless chicken wings. I eat them like regular chicken wings, and I just toss out the middle. Just
eat it like corn on the cob. Just throw away the middle.
Exactly. What is your go-to? What is your ideal treat? Like, what would you trade other people for growing up?
Reese's.
That's fair. I was a big milk dud and I'm having a brain fart. I just had it.
I also liked whenever you got the junior mints, because you had to eat those first before they tainted all the rest of the candy. Those and the York peppermint patties. God forbid somebody nukes your candy bag with a handful of peppermints. Yeah. Just throw it in there, ruins all the chocolate in there.
Or banana Laffy Taffy.
You're like throwing grenades in foxholes in people's candy bag, just going through dropping peppermints. See if they don't notice it for 2 weeks.
Tootsie, the big Tootsie Rolls, the big fat Tootsie Rolls.
Oh,
and then Milk Duds.
I did like whenever they came out with the like the fruit flavored Tootsie Rolls. I did those a lot. Those were awesome. Those were awesome.
Those were real good. Brittany S says peanut M&Ms. That's a classic. You can't knock that. Reese's Sticks, Coach Steve said.
Reese's Sticks. Is that like the Take 5 bars? Is that what that is?
No, Take 5 has like pretzels and stuff in it.
I've never had a Reese's stick. I don't know what that is.
I think
is.
I've had Reese's sticks before. Oh, Fast Break Bars are another one. Those are underrated as hell. Those are good
Those
ones.
Are pretty good.
Brian says Crackle. And then Andy Watkins says Hershey's, just chocolate, done right. No fucking
Crackle.
Chocolate.
Who wants Crackle?
Crunch bar?
Just take a Crunch bar and throw it in some pond water and then eat it. That's a Crackle for you.
How come Nestle never said, hey, we need, or is it, or no. Hershey's makes Crackle. How come Hershey's never said we need a bunch of Crunch for Crackle? Because Bunch of Crunch is good as shit. That is the good stuff. Yeah. Butterfingers, yeah. Elliot Beaven says. Lastly, with the Twix, before we get back to the game, the Twix, have you had the cookies and cream Twix?
I have not.
Ooh, yeah. So instead of caramel, it's cookies and cream and then a chocolate cookie.
I will say I'm a big fan of the Hershey's cookies and cream candy bar. That's a solid too.
And Symphony. What about the Symphony bars with the
Oh, that's basically like a score bar, right? Yeah, it's like a score bar. Yeah.
And zero bar. Oh yeah.
zero bar. Gross. It's just nougat, right?
It's like nougat and almonds and white chocolate. It's so good, dude. It is so good. I don't care. It's so good. But you want to cough because the white chocolate's so like chalky. You know what I'm talking about? Like whenever you get
tiramisu.
Yeah. You get chocolate, it's like you can't breathe. You're not choking.
I feel like that every time I eat, Tim. I just eat like a wood chipper. Like if I'm not heaving in the middle of a meal, I'm not eating.
If I don't feel like I'm having a heart attack.
If I don't have to get if I don't have to get an inhaler out to finish my dinner, I'm not doing
but
it.
I have to get the what is it, the damn air compressor out. try and force it down. It's a homemade ventilator. Quick note about Barco. Gustavo Rodriguez down in Argentina saying, I think Barco was secretly sanctioned for the PK issue. It was clear he had a problem with teammates.
Really?
It's interesting. I hadn't heard anything about that.
Why would he be sanctioned for that?
It's like the team internally.
Talking about his dispute with Kubo?
Yeah.
I don't know why. That seems odd. Anyway,
I don't know. I mean, culture is what it is. I don't know.
I don't know if
it's so strict internally that it would be, showing. I mean, he didn't miss that many games. He didn't get suspended that many games for his part in the Brandon Vasquez saga. So I don't know. I don't think so. That's anyway. True. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Brandon Vasquez and the remains of Tata, I heard that I missed the game, but Netherlands fell to Mexico. That was last week, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Wednesday, I think, or Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely forgot it was on last week.
Yeah. So Saturday was like I don't know. Again, the tinkering. It was good to see Jürgen Damm play.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed. I'm not saying Adam John is a world beater, but it was a little disappointing to not see him start because it felt like he's been pretty positive the past few games. And I don't know if John Gallagher is absolutely like the option to have as a sole striker up there. That said, I feel like we should. I don't know. I've seen a lot of disputing. Have you watched at least the goal by?
Yeah.
Red Bulls. What did you think? Yeah. Was that, should that have been disallowed?
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm always on the wrong side of every one of these disputes. It's like I want play to be allowed to take place until it's against my side, right? Like that's always the weird thing to try to argue with situations like that. So I don't know. What about you?
I mean, I've seen Josh Bagranski has been pretty vocal in saying that it was the right call, but at the same time, the ball was like inches, I felt like, away from hitting Daniel Royer. And I felt like he was clearly offside I felt like it probably should have been disallowed, but it could be, you know, I'm biased. I'm not going to lie to your point. I feel like
it's just like the dog's host stuff, right? Like it's just so, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I really don't know how to feel about it other than, you know, if that's how we get beat, that's not the worst way. Worst way to go. I don't know. I still felt like we played pretty decently in a really like in a somewhat shitty game. Like I felt like the game was not, it wasn't like a great spectacle to watch. Andy Watkins says, did he interfere with Brad's view? No, but by the way the rule is written, I feel that his presence would have changed my response as a keeper. Brittany S says no goal for her. Keith Filer says yes, disallowed. He had to move out of the way of the ball. Right. That's my thing is I feel like he was close enough. Like you see a ball lofted over the top and a guy gets that close to a ball, they're going to call it offside. But if it's on, I guess if it's on a shot in the box, I don't know, man. I don't know. Goose yeah. wouldn't have been able to get to it. I don't know if his positioning would have changed, but I don't know. It's tough because Goose was completely beaten out on that. Like Daniel Royer's not there. I still think the ball goes in, but that doesn't change that he was in front of the goal, in front of the ball or next to the ball, whenever the ball went into the net.
Ah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to say, but yes. Yeah. Marcelino Moreno, definitely a bright spot. Excited for him. It's nice to have a DP on the field. That's, I mean, it feels like a while. Yeah. Anybody who, so we watched, because ESPN Plus still had, we didn't have to do the VPN thing to watch it, but we had to watch the Spanish broadcast. And the Spanish broadcasters were calling him Hyndum, Emerson Hyndum, Hyndum.
Maybe we've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. Mispronounce everybody else's name. So exactly. Probably mispronounce
it. Add it to the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Emerson Hyndum. yeah. Hyndum. Like,
damn it, kill him.
Oh, dear God. We do, dude, it's such a busy fixture schedule. Like, the fixture schedule.
The good news is Atlanta is only what? 2 points out of 2 points away from seventh place? Was that last I looked? I think they were only two points outside of seventh place, but that might have changed because of the – no, the Red Bulls game fucked that. Never mind. So, nope, Atlanta is just hanging on in that 10th spot. Jeez.
Yeah, we're 2 points out of eighth with Montreal.
Yeah.
Nashville also has a game in hand, and they're same distance away.
Super cool.
I don't know, man. We still could see ourselves into the playoffs and pull a miracle out of our ass. You never
That's
know.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know, man. You never know.
Oh, I know.
No, you don't. You don't know.
No.
I mean, we're in the play-in game as it stands, in one of the play-in games.
Yeah, but we've still got to play Toronto, Orlando again, and Columbus. Like, maybe we win three of our last six games. Maybe.
But this isn't – does anybody know, is this the end of the schedule, or is this just the games that
– it's going to have to be, man. Like, that takes us to November 8th. Like, once you go to a playoff system, if you don't have that be the end of the schedule, you're going to be through December – and then you're starting back up in February on regular season play? Like, isn't that doesn't the new schedule start? Like, isn't the new schedule normally starting us in February or early March? When was our first game this year, right?
It was late February.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it can't go much longer, if at all, past what they've got it at right now on the 8th.
So the only thing that's for sure right now, I guess maybe so. I was going to say the only thing that's for sure is the dates on the MLS Cup final, which is December 12th. So I guess however many games we can get in before then.
So the question I have is
– and Keith Fowler says this is the end of the schedule. So
okay. So The question I haven't seen raised at all is what happens with Champions League next year? Like,
I think we probably just resume where we were.
So but what about the other teams that'll qualify from this year? Like, does everything get postponed to next year? And then what about the teams that are qualifying from this season's play?
I want to say at one point there was a lapse in the schedule or some sort of overlap in the schedule where teams were playing for, I want to say it was like our first year in the league, maybe, where teams were like playing for the next season of Champions League. I don't know.
So bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what we're going to do. It's unprecedented, obviously. I have no idea what to do. But I mean, the last we knew, CCL was postponed.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's not like we're going to come back from that 3-0 deficit against.
Was that three or four?
It was three.
Okay. Yeah. Andy says that he doesn't think that they've officially announced this year as canceled. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Man. I can't keep up with all this shit. Like NBA just finished last night, and then they're going to start back up in like 6 weeks.
I know. So is it, what is it? The 24th? Is that the first in-game attendance game for the season? Right? The DC United game?
That sounds right.
Anybody that's what I was going to ask. Anybody in the trap going to that? I will not be. I know you're not either, right?
No, I don't think we'll venture into the stadium for, I don't even know if next year we would do it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on vaccine and all depend. I feel like it's up in the air, man. I have no idea. Like, I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Yeah. I mean, 70,000 people in that stadium. I mean, I just think back to the Atalanta and Valencia game and Champions League. That was the big super spreader event between France and Spain, or Italy and Spain. Sorry. And that, yeah, this just seems reminiscent of that. Luckily, we're not putting that many fans in the stadium or anything like that. So,
no, yeah. And I wonder, I mean, they may end up being just season ticket holders next year, not opening it up to general public. At least early on. I could easily see that happening.
I just wonder if they would.
Which is only what, 15,000? 17,000? I mean, I say just. I mean, I know that's a big crowd, but still.
There were 30,000 at one point.
Was it really? I didn't realize there were that many. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and I don't know. To Keith Fowler's point, he says he's not going this year. Neither is Coach Steve. So it's saving credits for next year. And I wonder if they offer those credits for the subsequent season if you don't go next year.
I doubt it. If they're going to be open to full capacity and you choose not to go, I think you're going to be on the hook for it.
Yeah. Gustavo, back to the game. Say Marcelino played well with Jürgen Damm, and probably because they spoke in Spanish. Yeah. I mean, get a little bit of that that chemistry in there, being able to communicate well with one another. It definitely doesn't hurt. You got to find a way to watch the game on Wednesday, man.
How? What am I supposed to do?
Get a VPN.
Okay, so I'm going to pay for another thing, and then I got to pay for another subscription. I get a VPN, and then I still have to get another subscription.
Well, at least get the free month of the VPN.
Yeah, but then I've got to get another subscription for a streaming service because it's not going to be on YouTube TV, no matter whether I have a VPN service or not.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Fuck ESPN Plus. I'm done with that service. They've already got too much of my money.
What Brittany S. said, though, is to go to Hulu TV Live.
But then that's the problem, too, is, like, that doesn't cover everything. Like, you have to pick – like, Hulu Live, you either pick the service that has all of the local Fox networks or you pick the one that has all the ESPN networks. And I'm not going to do that. And it's the same price as YouTube TV. Like, I'm – no. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Kevin Escobar bringing the absolute black comedy into this, saying, I might just massacre my family first so I won't feel bad about going to the games.
That's like Bill Burr's stand-up, his call-up for SNL.
That was pretty amazing.
That was great.
That was so good to watch the internet just completely implode.
Yeah.
Kevin Escobar also says Opera browser has a VPN built in. I completely forgot about Opera. That's right. They have a free VPN built into their browser. so you could set your location to whatever you wanted.
Okay.
Yeah, so, that's what Keith Filer said. You were talking about where you had to choose between.
Gotcha.
So it's time for you to switch to Hulu TV.
I just want to pick a lane, man. Just let me pick a lane. I guess I was thinking of Sling. You're absolutely right. I was. I forgot about that. That's my fault. Yeah. Definitely my fault. Mm-hmm. But did you watch Swamp Thing, though?
No. Where did that come on?
It was so good. So they put it out on – it was originally only going to air on the DC app, which nobody had.
Yeah,
and like DC Comics had an app that they were like going to start doing content for to try to compete with all the Marvel stuff being on Disney Plus or something. Nobody got it. And it was really great, apparently. Well, now the CW picked it up and they're going to start airing it. And they've put out the first episode was last week. And now
going
forward. You know me, baby. I'm all about that. Well, and it was, I mean, it's got a, dude, it's got a 95 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I was on board no matter what, but it's legitimately good. I enjoyed it.
But how does the Swamp Thing look in comparison to the 80s movies?
It's good, man. You only see it for a little bit in the first episode, but it's good. I like
it. Does it look more like Swamp Thing or Man Thing?
I'll hold on. I'll pull it up and I'll send you a link so you can share it. Or why don't you just Google it and share the screen?
Man Thing looks pretty sweet.
Man Thing? They didn't do a Man Thing show.
No, they didn't. No, I'm just talking about in general. Like, I.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Brittany S. Yes, Lovecraft Country is amazing, but fuck Monsterland. That first episode, I've yet to watch a show that had me as shaken up and troubled as the first episode of Monsterland did. I cannot recommend somebody watch that show. But Lovecraft Country is amazing. Look at that, dude. Look at how good that looks. It's so good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
like, I feel
good.
Like they got a really good balance between CGI and practical effects. And they got the tone right because it's always been this like kind of dark, gritty, noir style comic book that's set in the swamp. And they've managed to find a way to capture that in a show that's it's been really good. That's the 80s version, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I always send Stacy the gif of him doing the thumbs up, the 80s one doing the thumbs up.
God, that reminds me of like Toxic Avenger and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Doom Patrol, that's one I haven't watched either. They filmed that over by my office, apparently. We get our plot shut down in Conyers all the time for Doom
Patrol. The what? What did they watch?
Doom Patrol. What did they
do? Oh, yeah. Somebody was saying, who was that? Say, Doom, Elliot Beavis said that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, they we get notices on our door at the office, and they'll be like, sorry, we're taking over your entire parking lot for this. It's like, great.
Cool.
Yeah. But
awesome.
Still never watched it between that and the Vampire Diary stuff.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about Lovecraft Country. I know I've been recommending that to just about everybody, and I recommended it to you guys the first episode. I can no longer recommend that for you and Angie to watch because it gets real messy and Angie will probably get sick.
Yeah. Well, we gotta figure something out. We just finished Succession and that's all I want to watch, but there are no more episodes in existence. So
I gotcha.
Yep.
I gotcha.
So
and you've sworn off all the cooking shows, right?
Yeah. Trying not to watch cooking shows.
They're dangerous.
Yeah. Triple D right now would ruin me. Like if I were to watch an episode of Triple D, I would be absolutely ruined.
Yeah.
All right. So we have fucking Inter Miami again on
Wednesday. Why do you keep wanting to talk about Atlanta United, Tim? Just let me have this. I'm just joking. Despite my best efforts, you'll bring us back on track.
Yeah. I'm the conductor. Not of the train in Lilburn. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
Saturday night over here. Apparently, so there was a train derailed because of all the rain.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was
chemical. Saturday was crazy, man.
Like, it was insane amount of rain. Like, our backyard flooded like crazy, but yeah. And our gutters could not hold water. Like, they were just pouring over the entire. But yeah, they had a train derail. It shut down the Greenway, our version of the Beltway or Beltline or whatever. Yeah, it's shut down. City Park's shut down for a couple days. Jesus. Because of it. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, the boys is on my list too.
Yeah, they just finished season two. Released the final episode on Friday.
So. And Mandalorian is coming later this month, and I can't wait for season. You guys never finished the first season, did you?
No, I watched the first episode. I just couldn't, like, we were watching it in bed at like 10 o'clock at night. That's a bad recipe for me. Like, I fall asleep so bad. Like, no matter
especially because the pacing is like Once Upon a Time in the West, and it's just very slow Western style. Like, yeah.
Like, I love Nick Nolte, but I can't stay awake. I can't stay awake.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, UFC minute request. You can't avoid that. You're not going to avoid that.
I didn't finish.
I've watched more of the UFC lately than I have of Atlanta United. Yeah. The highlights of that back kick knockout.
Yeah. That was probably the most insane KO I've ever seen in my life. I think without a doubt, that was the most insane knockout.
Pretty awesome.
Some Steven Seagal movie shit.
Pretty awesome. That's what I tried to do to Matthew in high school whenever he grabbed my foot in the courtyard. And I tried to kick him. He grabbed my foot. And I was like, oh, I'll just kick him with my other foot, not realizing I was 230 pounds and I was just going to fall flat on my ass with a thudding collapse in front of at least 150 people. That was cool.
Yeah. It's good times.
Yeah.
It's good times. But yeah, we play Miami again on Wednesday. I feel like this season needs an asterisk on it for no other reason than we keep playing the same damn teams over and over and over and over again. It's like, I feel like it's hard.
We should be dominating as a result of that. We are playing the worst teams in the league over and over and over again and continuing to be.
Miami's not a bad team, though.
Wait a minute. Can we take the SEC bias? Because we're all playing each other, so we're just beating each other up in the bottom of the league. Nobody can get out. That's it.
So it's going to be Atlanta, Orlando, and Miami, like the last three teams, or throw in Columbus or something in there in the East. You're probably not wrong. I mean, LSU looks good, right?
Right. We'll just start taking the Missouri. Like, Stan was like, well, we play the SEC. Like, we're playing again.
No, but really, like, I feel like it's gonna be hard. I feel like
we played Alabama close, man. Like, what? We played them close. I think we should definitely be in the playoffs.
Meanwhile, Orlando's like, we want Bama. Give us Bama. We want Bama.
Exactly.
No, but for real, like, what I feel like there is a lack of an accurate barometer this season and knowing what teams are really that good, because everybody's kind of playing the same up until recently. Like, everybody's playing the same teams over and over again. It's hard to tell. Like, Columbus look like world beaters, but they're not sitting first in the league anymore. Toronto's sitting first in the East. And I think Philly's second right now in the East. Is it Toronto, Philly, Orlando? No, Columbus, Orlando.
It is Toronto, Philly, Columbus, Orlando, NYCFC, New England, and that's the top six.
Yeah. So I don't really know what to think or expect. Portland's tops in the West?
No, Seattle.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised. Seattle
and Portland are tied.
Yeah.
But tiebreaker.
I could see either of those teams running roughshod over the West.
Holy shit. Seattle's goal differential is 18 right now.
That's pretty solid, because Toronto, like, nobody has more than double digits in the East in goal differential.
Oh, wait, no. I mean, Philly's 16.
Oh, okay.
Toronto's 12. Columbus is 14. Orlando's 12.
So, yeah.
More teams have double-digit goal differentials in the Eastern than in the West.
I see a team like Seattle probably going through and Seattle or Portland, whoever makes it out of the West of those two teams, it's going to be one of those two teams as always, is going to end up winning the title. I don't think that anybody in the East, I think Philly's super dynamic. I feel like they have a good team and a great core, and I feel like they can cause problems, but I think that's
crazy to me is San Jose is sitting in seventh in the West.
Negative goal differential, right?
Minus 19 goal differential.
It's a top heavy, definitely a top heavy conference.
Yeesh.
Yeah. So I think Seattle or Portland is going to end up winning the title, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think the Philly fans are going to be pretty happy. I think that team, I could see that team winning the East.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one game difference right now between them and Toronto. So see how it shakes out.
How do you feel about the Miami game?
Considering I haven't watched a match in 2 weeks, I say go Atlanta. Play for a win. I don't know, man. It's tough to say considering we have not beaten Miami this season, and they're one of the worst teams in the league, not just in the East. And arguably our best performance against them came as a result of a 0-0 draw in the beginning of September. So
this is our fourth time playing them.
Yes. So yeah. With that, I don't know, man. Like I said a couple weeks ago on here, I think any positive outcome is found money. I'm not going into any game expecting a win. Do I want a win? Absolutely. Am I going to say that Atlanta's going to win? Absolutely. Do I expect that to be the case? No, I don't. So, yeah, we'll see. What about you?
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good. I think, and Elliot Beaven brings up kind of the point that I think is swaying me right now is Marcelino Moreno's injection into this team. Like his hustle, his control on the ball, and his vision, I felt like were very, very welcome additions to the team on Saturday. I can understand from watching him why he's a DP, especially right now in the current climate, money, you know, not being super readily available, I don't think, and us not being a super attractive destination for players just because of the uncertainty around management, around turnover and all that. But
how long is his contract? Do we know?
I don't. I would imagine it's probably to something like 2024, 2025. Probably 4 or 5 year contract, but
I was hoping it was just a year, man. Like, honestly, I don't know. I think you and I talked about this. I feel like Atlanta is playing with fire and going down a very similar trajectory of the situation they got themselves in with FDB and Pity Martinez, where you've got a DP and then all of a sudden a manager that's got to come in and win everybody over. Right.
But yes and no, right? Like, so I understand from a continuity standpoint that it's not necessarily the best situation, which we talked about in episodes past where, you know, being a man without a country, being a guy who's brought in by the front office, but not for the manager that you're going to eventually play for, it is detrimental to the player. But the other thing that's good, I think, from this standpoint is that Marcelino Moreno doesn't have the same spotlight placed on him as Pity Martinez did, because he doesn't have the quote unquote South American player of the year. He's not touted as like being this huge up and coming guy. And even like people, I felt like, I don't know, grasping at straws is the right word, but like reading into the, like Lanús posted on Twitter, like, you know, we've given you another successful number 10 before, you know, this is a successful partnership. And then everybody's like, how dare you compare him to Miguel Almirón? Like, that's so unfair. I was like, I think all they're saying is like, we've had success before in dealing with each other.
Right.
And
right.
We're going to have success again. But I think this is a better situation than that. And the fact that he's 25, if he signed a 4 or 5 year contract, which I imagine he did, we're probably going to keep him through his prime. And I don't see Barkley here for very long. So that gives us another, like, probably midfield spot or winger to give another DP spot to, because Joseph's going to be here for, as he says, as long as we'll have him. I'm not.
If you're a betting man, you think Marco's gone this transfer window or no?
No, based on what we've heard so far. No, because we're 2 weeks away, and I don't know if any team's that desperate in Europe right now for a player of his caliber. So I think probably more so next year, I think. But it'd be interesting. Elliot Beaton says Eric Lopez would be a DP if Barco is gone. If that's the case, then
I refuse to entertain Andy Watkins in the trap.
Yeah. And then Kevin Escobar said Moreno already showing better work rate than Petey did at his start. And that's true. Like, I felt like that's one thing.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see Marcelino Moreno hit the deck a couple times, but you didn't see him writhing on the floor. You didn't see him complaining or calling for fouls. He was very much heads down in a lot of instances where he was just a dog in the fight. Like, I felt like he was very much hustling his ass off on Saturday, and it was very much welcomed. Brittany is saying Gallagher was looking gassed. He's been running nonstop for 2 weeks, two games a week. Yeah. So I don't think he'll get sat. Brittany S did ask if we start Adam John or not. I think that we should. I think it would be nice to have that target, a big target man up front. It'll be interesting to see what Marcelino Moreno and Emerson Hyndman, and then the two wingers and Lennon and Gallagher can provide. But and then Barco for that matter. So I don't know. It'll be good to see. I think we probably will see a little bit of rotation, if not rotation back to the lineup that we saw a week ago. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, it's found money. Like, I still think this it might be hard to watch sometimes, but I still find it exciting because you're having to find like what gems you have on this team to move forward with.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. How are the Braves doing? Anybody know?
Oh, yeah. I meant to look for that. How about the Bills? How about the Bills?
Did they win again yesterday?
No. The game got pushed because of the COVIDs. So they're playing the Titans tomorrow night. Yeah.
Gotcha. Huh.
Braves up 1-0 in the second.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great.
How upset does the – I know they're losing now. They're down 2-0 now. But, like, how pissed off are a lot of baseball purists and fans that the Astros still made it back to the ALCS after the whole cheating? It's like maybe it wasn't just stealing signs. Maybe we have good players. Yeah. I have no idea. Kevin Escobar said, I think that what we missed from 2018, people's work rate. Escobar was great. So was
true.
Franco. Franco Escobar, both people.
Escobar times two.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you hear Dean Worley mentioned how about them Falcons? Did you hear the news about Falcons?
Is Raheem Morris the interim coach?
I did not see who they named as interim coach, but I just saw that Dimitroff and Quinn are out.
Oh, yeah. That's the Thomas
long Dimitroff overdue.
One long overdue. Dan Quinn will never, but like, I felt like Dimitroff he's been there way too long in that seat.
Yeah, Morris is the coach right now.
Yeah, right. Morris, granted, he was only like, I think he was like the youngest coach in the league whenever he was coaching Tampa Bay. He did not have a great time in Tampa Bay from what I remember. So it'll be interesting to see that, but.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, you can't really get much worse, right? It's the same with the glass at this point.
Yeah.
Just kind of par for the course for these Atlanta teams playing in Mercedes-Benz.
So what happened? I didn't get Kevin's joke.
Oh, he was saying Franco was the only person having a really good work rate in 2018.
Oh, gotcha.
Got it.
Gotcha. I have a serious question about Stephen Glass's future. So if they already said he's not the manager, they promoted him from Atlanta United 2. Tony Annan took his spot at Atlanta United 2. He's not going to resume the position of manager at Atlanta United 2, right? Like, he took this as a sacrificial role.
He's going to get a DC spot, a designated coach spot with the roster.
Speaking of DC coaching slots, did you see that Joe Ellis is one of the candidates for the DC United job?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that's I'd be pretty impressed.
Yeah,
to see her.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That, Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. She definitely is a better fit, I think, than Ben Olsen.
Yeah.
Ben Olsen was there a lot longer. I think I saw that it was, I think it was Pablo Maurer posted something to the effect of Ben Olsen has been involved either playing or managing DC United in 71 of their games. 71% of all of their games since they came
into the league.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what else you got going on the rest of the week, homie? Got the game Wednesday, and then do we got a game Saturday too, or just Wednesday?
We do, yeah.
And then we're going to go to Paragon tomorrow night.
Yes. Just give everybody our business, just in case they want to show up.
Who cares? Who cares?
I don't want anybody watching me play golf. We play Toronto on Sunday.
Dude, I've been feeling so much better playing. It's been awesome.
Yeah, now you don't have that like big monkey on your back of impressing anybody.
Yeah, and just slowly building up consistency in my swing and swing mechanics. It's been good. So, unfortunately, I have not done any Inktober this year. Just time and schedule has not afforded me as much. But you've taken on the creative title in this duo, doing all of the woodworking stuff.
Yeah.
How are you gonna? Did you get everything set up on Etsy yet, or no?
No, I haven't put anything on Etsy yet. I need to get stuff up there. I don't know, man. Part of me feels still self-conscious about selling stuff, but I don't know. It's what it is. Do giveaways or something.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
I actually had a really good idea, I think.
Yeah.
Even though you don't drink. Mm-hmm. So I use my wood mallet with my Lewis bag to make crushed ice for my drinks. And that could be a fun way to like market and sell the mallets that you've been making. If you like package them with a Lewis bag and like a little quick, like custom cocktail that you've come up with or whatever, to like put it all together in like a little package, essentially. Just a thought.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that. Because what else? Like, what else would you use this for? I mean, in woodworking, you would use it for joinery, but like,
I've got another idea for you. You could do a wooden spike and make it like a little Atlanta United kind of deal. Mm. You know, I don't think you'd be able to legally put any of the Atlanta United branding on there and sell it, but you could have a creative license to make a wood spike and it be themed along those lines, right?
Huh. Yeah. I don't know.
Keith Filer DM'd you on Instagram with a woodworking question, but then he made a weird smiley face that sounds inappropriate.
Okay. I'll have to look at it whenever we get done.
Be bold, Tim.
Yeah.
Be bold.
Be good. Yeah. I'm working on a gift for somebody right now. That should be done in the next couple of days. I'm pretty excited about it. But
right on.
Yeah. It'd be good.
What else is going on?
To go play golf tomorrow.
Yeah. Is your mom going to make cake orders this year?
I could probably talk her into it.
I only have 4 pieces left from last year. And
that's crazy that you still have that.
I'm rationing them out, man. I get a piece a month. But right now I'm trying to eat everything out of the freezer to make way for the 18-pound turkey that Stacy's going to make for Thanksgiving. So I got to empty it out.
18-pound turkey.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of on brand. Elliot Beaven asks, is anyone on brown? Anybody playing FIFA? Did you get FIFA 21?
Nope. And I canceled my Xbox Live membership. It's the first time I've had an Xbox Live membership in probably 15 years.
Okay, player.
I just don't play my Xbox at all. And we also converted over to the Game Pass back whenever COVID started. And now it's like $16 a month. You can't go back to just Xbox Live Gold, I don't think.
Oh, so it's just that.
Yeah, I think it's permanent.
But you still have that?
No.
Oh, so you canceled it all.
For now, anyway. Yeah, I haven't gotten FIFA yet. I didn't get any games, any new games. I know you got PGA, and I'm tempted to get it. I'm not going to lie, but
it's fun. It's just a good casual game to play whenever you have time, you know, because I can just pick it up and put it down in 20 or 30 minutes, and it's not very stressful, and it's a good solo game to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's all I got, man. I don't really have anything else tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm good too. Oh, score predictions. I know.
Oh, yeah. 1-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, I say we get over the hump. I say we beat their butt. And I say 3-0 Atlanta over Miami. Mm-hmm.
You fool. Mm-mm. You fool.
And then we lose to Toronto.
Oh, yeah. That's happening. Or what if that's the game that we end up like – I mean, that's a trap game for Toronto, right?
Yeah. I would say so.
It did feel nice to win a game by multiple goals against DC. We haven't had one of those at all this year, have we?
No, I don't think so. Wait, what did we beat Nashville? It was 2-1, I think. So, or no, it might have been 2-0.
Oh, I remember.
Whenever the restart happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But LA Beam says 3-0 Atlanta on Wednesday, I'm guessing. Brittany S, 2-1 Atlanta.
Yeah, we're definitely losing to Toronto. The only question is how bad.
We're going to get over the hump against Miami, though.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a bugaboo anymore.
I agree. All right, man. Well, hopefully I can find a way to watch it, and then we can talk about it next week. That'd be super fun.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll still be back. I'm back. Back full time.
Good.
Even if I'm not watching the game, I'm still going to be on. So yeah. I miss not recording too much. To even if I don't watch it, I'll just have to find a way to catch highlights and things piecemealed one way or another. I'm not switching I'm not switching to Hulu Live or ESPN Plus or VPNing. I'm digging my heels in at this point.
But Hulu Live's no different than YouTube TV, so.
Yeah, but then I'm going to have to cancel my YouTube TV, which I've already got set up with everything, and then set up something completely different with Hulu Live, and I don't want to do it.
That's fair.
I just don't want to do it.
Chiefs coach Steve saying, willing this into existence, Atlanta 4-0. Kevin Escobar saying, completely objectively and looking at it, or looking at all possibility in a Dr. Strange-like fashion, I predict a 3-1 Atlanta win with a Moreno goal. And then Keith Fowler saying, 1-0 Atlanta. I like it. Positivity. Keep spreading it.
Yeah. Go out and vote. Go out and fucking vote.
Our early polling place by us was packed today.
Yep.
Seems to be the case everywhere.
I was going to ask you if you were going to do mail-in. I'm not. I'm going in person just because of all this shit going on. I know it's going to take forever, but.
Yeah. Well, if you get out there, like, we're going to go, like, Brittany has 6-0 against Miami on Wednesday. Okay. I dig it. We got out there early. We voted in the primaries and got out there pretty early, and it wasn't bad at all. I think it really just depends on what location you're at. In Gwinnett, we have some.
What location and what day of the week you go on?
Yeah, I think we might go. We're going to try and go sometime this week, I think.
Yeah, I'll probably try to do
it. Our buddy Danny Palacios waited, I think, 6 hours in line to vote today.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think I waited like an hour and a half during the primaries. Wasn't too bad. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
However you're doing it, though, do it. It's going to be great. All right. However you found us, thank you for doing so. Be sure to tell a friend if you found us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher that you're using. Be sure to leave us any number of ratings or a review to hear it read aloud on the show. You can find us collectively on Twitter at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. And individually, Tim, where can they find you at?
You find me at Tim Herb.
You find me at The Architect. That's at @_ARC number 1 TECT. Find Dan at DNJMS. And we hope to find all of you guys back here again next week. Same time, same place. As always, be home before dark.